not good. Sister Mary Lee has a, it should be just in, I had it down there. It should be on PowerPoint. Oh. Even though it's bright and sunny and wonderful outside and warm, I want to talk to you today about midnight. Pretty black. Pretty desolate. Pretty dark. I truly believe that one of the safest places and the most secure places that we can be is right smack in the center of God's will. Just like that child is in the loving arms of that father. And I purposely cut off that face because I want you to see yourself hugged by the loving God. But at the same time, where's the changer, the remote? Okay. At the same time, it can also be an unpleasant and a painful place. How do we know that that father is not hugging that child because he hasn't seen him for a long time and maybe you won't see him for a long time again? We don't know the circumstances there. We just know that right at that moment, they're enjoying what they have. In my experience, it seems that God is more interested in my relationship with him and making me more like him than he is about always making me happy and pain-free. Now, I've also noticed that God's will is not always what I would perceive as the ideal situation. Anybody else ever experienced that? But if we are seeking his will, then we have to trust his answer. And we have to believe that he has a plan and a purpose and an ultimate destiny for our lives. The scripture today is taken from the books of Acts, chapter 16. It's really verses 9 to 34. Sorry, I misprinted that. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. We boarded a boat at Troas and sailed straight across to the island of Samothrace, and the next day we landed at Neapolis. From there, we reached Philippi, a major city of that district of Macedonia and a Roman colony, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we thought people would be meeting for prayer, and we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshipped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. Remember, they were worshiping what they perceived as God. They had not yet heard about Jesus. She was baptized along with other members of her household, and she asked us to be her guest. "If you agree that I am a true believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my home." And she urged us on until we agreed. One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a demon-possessed slave girl. She was a fortune teller who earned a lot of money for her masters. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered, so they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. "The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews," they shouted to the city officials. "They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and when they were thrown into prison, the jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open, and he assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself! We are all here!" The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." And they shared with the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and he and an entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. There's a lot there to preach, but I promise I'm not going to preach on the whole thing today. Paul and Silas were told in a vision that they were to go to Macedonia. So they obeyed. Now, in this vision, people were pleading with them to come. We don't plead unless we're desperate, usually. Or we want something really bad. So I wasn't there, even though my grandchildren think I might have been. Paul, in my experience, when God has shown me something, or, and I know not everyone does this, but I actually experience the feeling that goes along with that. I have a feeling that Paul might have sensed their desperation. Please help us. They must have been in trouble. They needed help. So Paul and Silas obeyed, and they went to Macedonia. And when they arrived, the very first thing they were able to do is go to a prayer meeting and lead Lydia to Jesus Christ. Oh, they have to be in God's will, right? Look at how wonderful this is. This is awesome. They have to be. We led someone to Jesus. And not only that, but she offered to give them a place to stay. They'd have to pay a hotel bill. They got to stay in a rich woman's house. If you made royal purple linen, you were rich then. You were not poor. So they not only got to stay in a home, they got to stay in a 5-star hotel. Okay? I mean, they had it made. They had to be in God's will. Look at all that's been provided for them. And they were really glad about that. Can't you just see Paul saying, "Hey, Silas, don't you think this is great? Look what's going on here. Yeah, this is really good, don't you think?" So days went on, and all of a sudden, they met with opposition. Oh, come on now. How can you be in God's will and meet opposition? Really? Well, looks like they did. You see, there was this slave girl, and she was demon-possessed, according to the Bible. She was a fortune teller that made her owner very, very rich. She was following and annoying them every day as they were making their way to worship. Anyone here ever been annoyed by the body of Christ? I have, to be honest. Paul was annoyed. The great Paul the Apostle was annoyed. That's what it says. He was annoyed. But she was yelling at everyone that would listen that Paul and Silas were servants of the Most High God. Now, she was a fortune teller, and she was demon-possessed. And the message she was giving was wonderful, but it wasn't from the right person. You see, even the demons bow and know who Jesus Christ is. So after several days, Paul had enough of it, and he turned to her, and he spoke to the enemy. He didn't speak to the person. Notice that in Scripture. He did not speak to the person. He spoke to the spirit within her, and he said, "Be freed in the name of Jesus Christ." And she was instantly delivered. Well, she was really happy. Paul and Silas were really happy. "Hey, we're really in God's will. We did it again, guys. Look at this. We're really where we're supposed to be. Things are going wonderful. We only got someone saved, but we got them freed. Where's deliverance going on here?" Okay? Well, guess what? Not everybody was happy about that. Not everybody was happy about the fact that this young woman had been delivered. Because you see, now all of a sudden, her owners weren't going to be rich anymore. Because if she'd been freed from that demon possession, she wasn't going to be able to tell people's fortunes anymore. So they weren't going to be getting rich anymore. Well, he was an unhappy man. And too fast. He went to the authorities. This is just a guess. He was probably, because he was wealthy, he probably had influence with the authorities there. just kind of the way, I don't think much has changed back then since today. I just said, especially back then, I think he probably had some influence with the authorities. So they took them before the authorities, and they said, listen, these guys are going around, and they're trying to tell people that to do things that are against Roman law. This just can't be. We can't have this, you know. Well, the judge went along with them. Who knows why? Bible doesn't say. But they were unjustly accused, and they were severely beaten and thrown in jail. Now, they weren't just thrown in jail like we have today, okay? They were thrown in the deepest, darkest part of that dungeon. It stunk. It was dark. It was probably dirt. You know, the jails aren't like they are today. There was probably men there that were probably even on death's door. It was not a pleasant place to be. What had they done? What were they guilty of? They weren't guilty of any of the things that these men had accused them of. The only thing they were guilty of was following in the will of God. Did the will of God really land them in this dark, dank, stinky place? Beaten, broken, bruised, and chained? Yeah, it did. Have you ever felt like you have been unjustly accused? Have you ever felt like you were being punished for something that was not your fault? You only stood for what was right, but you didn't understand. Did you ever say, God, why? Yeah, I have. Why? Why would, you know, you love me, right? The Bible doesn't tell me if Paul and Silas questioned God. I don't know. Wasn't there. They're human. I know I have. When we get delivered from something, there isn't always someone who will be happy about it. In fact, I guarantee you there's probably someone who isn't happy about it. You know, when you're delivered from an abusive situation, that abuser is not happy. Okay? When you are freed from addiction, no matter what it might be, whether it's drugs, alcohol, TV, food, doesn't matter, that thing wants you back. It's not happy. When God totally rearranges your life, you can hear your old life beckoning for you to come back. It wants you back. Don't let your past determine your future. That is your choice. Yes, they're going to call, but you can tone them out. And I'm going to tell you how they did that. You see, Paul and Silas were chained, beaten, bloodied, broken, and I imagine wondering what went wrong, but the Bible says it's about midnight hour, as dark as it can get, black as it can get. Like Pastor has said, when he's been in that wall, like you can't see your hand in front of you. My husband John was telling me when he was a scuba diver that even when you're scuba diving, that's even a little more scarier, because if you go down deep enough, it's so black, you know, you don't even feel what's underneath you. So you don't know if you're upside down or upside right. That's even scarier. These guys were in a black, black, black place, okay? Now, what's so special about midnight? Well, at midnight is the end of a day. But 1 second after that, guess what? It's the start of a brand new day. The book of Psalms tells us that weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You might be at your midnight hour, but this is a promise that joy will come. Lamentations tells us, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. The book of Philippians declares, being confident of this, that he began a good work in you, will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, Paul and Silas knew the first two. Remember, especially Paul, he was being taught to be head priest. He knew those verses. My guess is probably because of some of the things that he experienced, he wrote Philippians 1:6. God was doing a work in completing him, okay? God's mercies are new every morning, and he is faithful to complete what he has started. If you can just last through the night, if you can just hang on long enough, morning is around the corner. Light is on its way, but don't give up at the midnight hour. Don't give up at the midnight hour. Paul and Silas found themselves there, but guess what? I don't see where it says they were whining. I don't see where it says they were complaining. I don't see where it says, woe is me. I don't see them being Eeyore. I don't see them doing any of those things. You see, they decided to place their focus on the one who had sent them to where they were. Right? Isn't that what we read? That God had sent them there? God knew what was going to happen. They sure didn't. They liked it when everything was going wonderful and Lydia was saved and this woman was delivered. All of a sudden, whoa, here we are in a deep, dark prison. They decided that no matter what it looked like, they were going to trust God's plan and not lean on their own understanding. Again, from the book of Proverbs, I didn't put it up there, but lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Paul and Silas knew those verses. We all have, and if you haven't, you will, face a midnight hour. There are times, they are the times when God's love and God's power can break through in a powerful and awesome way if you just don't give up. And you know what? That's the times when he does his best work. Because when it's so dark, when the light shines, it just covers all the darkness. And it's usually, in my experience, something that I would have never dreamed of, never thought of in a million years, the way that God would work it out. John, can I share about your experience? I had prayed for John's salvation for over 11 years. And honestly, I was to the point where, like, I'd had it. It wasn't going to happen. I gave up. I just gave up. Well, we were supposed to be going to this meeting out Wellsboro, I think it was Wellsboro. And John has told this testimony. You know, he was going to go with us, and he tried his best not to make it, but gee, there was Dave pulling up when he got out of the shower. And we went, and I'm like, oh, that's nice. You know, he had no choice. He had to go. So, I mean, that was my attitude. I'd done. I had given up. Yeah, he's gone. Big deal. He'll just go back home and be the same old, same old. Well, at that meeting, Sister Johnson preached the Word of God. And I have a picture of after that message. To this day, I don't remember what the message is, but I'm sure John does. Sister Johnson was a little thing. She got up in the chair, put her hand on John's head, and led him to the Lord. I would have never, in a million years, dreamed that's the way God would have done it. But he did. And I was at my midnight hour. I was ready to call it in and say, forget it. But God came through in a way that I would have never dreamed. You don't need to be defeated by the midnight hour. You see, Paul and Silas knew to be praying. Don't we all know, and don't we usually pray in the foxhole, so to speak, when things are bleak and dark and unforeseen and we're not know what's going on? We tend to pray more then, don't we? But they didn't just pray. They sang songs. They didn't know what the morning was going to bring. They didn't know what the next moment was going to bring. But they sang. And it doesn't say what songs they sang, but I imagine they called on the name of Jesus because there's power in that name. We sang that song today. Can you imagine trying to sing, Brother Dave, when you've been beaten, broken, and your ribs are probably broken, at least bruised? I can't imagine trying to sing. But they did. They sang songs. It says they sang hymns in their darkest hour. And they're probably thirsty because, you know, after all, those prisoners weren't well kept back then. So dry throat, broken ribs, probably swollen throat because of all the beating. But they sang. And they didn't have a worship leader leading them in the songs. And they didn't have a CD to sing with. But they sang. They remembered the songs and they sang. Now, it's really easy to sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. When your light is bright and the light is shining. And it's easy to sing, God will make a way when there seems to be no way, when the bills are paid. But when you don't know where the money's coming from for the bills, it's not so easy to sing that song. And can you sing the song that Casting Crowns sings? I will praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands. Can you sing that song? Can you choose to do that in your midnight hour? You see, I think it's kind of cool because Paul and Silas didn't have the Bible to read, although I think they probably would have read it if they had it. But you know what they did have? They had stories that they were told when they were children. They knew about Joseph in prison and how God had raised him to second by Pharaoh. They knew how David had ran into a cave and God had given him a promise he'd be king someday, but there he was cowering from the king that was already ruling and reigning. But God had a plan. They knew that Daniel was sleeping with the lions, yet God told him he would be delivered. They knew the three Hebrew boys in the furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how God had walked with them through that fiery furnace and broke their bonds. They knew all those stories. They didn't panic. Sometimes we tend to panic when we're at the midnight hour. They didn't. They remembered the things, what they had been taught. They remembered the things they've been told. They remembered the things that they have told by their parents or whoever, the priest, about the stories of these men. And they knew that they weren't alone. You see, they belonged to God. These other men belonged to God. God was with them in that prison. When you see someone go through a midnight hour and you see them work through it, yes, they're having a hard time, but you see them saying, no matter what, my God will make a way. It kind of helped you to go through yours, don't you think? I know there's been times in my midnight hours, and gee, when I had my first one, I thought that was it, but I was mistaken. You'll probably have more than one. There were times that the only way I got through was because other people prayed me through, or I remembered what had happened, and God had brought them through. We need to remember. Now, Paul and Silas had a captive audience, literally a captive audience. They were praying, they were singing, and these prisoners had no help but to listen to what they had to say and sing. So they were a captive audience. And these men were also at their midnight hour. It wasn't just Paul and Silas in that prison that was at their midnight hour. So were these men. And they were probably also beaten and broken and bruised. And they were probably thinking, this is just my thought, Bible doesn't say this, but they're probably thinking, look at those crazy guys over there singing, praying. What are they, nuts? Can you imagine? When you're beaten and broken and these guys are here singing praises to God, they're probably here because they're crazy, don't you think? But all of a sudden, just like that demon girl, that possessed demon girl was delivered instantly, all of a sudden there was a great earthquake. And I can imagine that all those people were like, what's going on? But you know what? You know what amazes me when I read this? I've read this scripture so many times, but this kind of showed me today. When that earthquake happened, the walls didn't cave in. The roof didn't come down. The building didn't crumble. Okay. Gee, that's kind of weird, don't you think? Maybe God kind of like took his finger and directed that earthquake. Just guessing. But you know what did happen? The chains broke, not only off Paul and Silas, but they broke off every prisoner in that jail cell. When you can pray and when you can sing in your midnight hour, it's not only your chains that are broken. It's not only your bonds that are you set free from, but you can also break the bonds and the chains of those around you if you choose to praise God in your midnight hour. Now, this jailer came, and he had been directed that he needed to keep these men from escaping. And all of a sudden, he sees that they're gone, and he was ready to take his own life. And Paul said, no, stop, stop. Paul stopped him. Not only were those men's chains broken off, but they did the right thing. They could have fled. They didn't. They stayed there because they knew this man's life would be forfeited. That was the law back then. You see, Paul and Silas didn't pray and sing. They lived it. They lived it. Remember, this jailer asked Paul and Silas, how can I be saved? Well, I have a feeling he was probably hearing that woman crying that these are the servants of the Most High God. Telling them about Jesus Christ. So why else would he ask them, how can I be saved? Why would that even come to his mind? Now, Paul was one of the greatest theologians, I believe, that ever lived. But yet, you know what? When this man asked that question, he didn't give him a 3-point sermon. He didn't tell him the Ten Commandments. He didn't give him the Beatitudes. All he said was, keep it simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Simple. When people ask us how we can praise in our midnight hour and sing in our midnight hour, all you need to do is live your testimony, give it to them, and tell them to receive and believe that the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, don't try to complete the work before it's been started. Sometimes we Christians are guilty of that. It has to be started before it can be finished. Do you truly believe that God has a plan and a purpose for your midnight? Not only did God have a plan and a purpose for Paul and Silas, everything was wonderful when they got there, and things turned really bad, but God turned it around again, and there was not just a jailer was saved, but his entire house was saved. And when the jailer took him back to his home, they cleaned him up, and they fed them, and they welcomed them, and you know, that was a dangerous, dangerous thing for them to do. They could have died. They could have been killed for doing that, for sheltering Paul and Silas. But they believed so much in what they saw and what they knew. They saw Paul and Silas with the singing of the songs and the praising God, that they were willing to take that chance. Are you believing that God has a purpose for your midnight? Are you praising him? I know that not all of us are called to be a Mark Schultz, one of the Christian artists. That doesn't matter. The Bible doesn't say how you sing. It just says sing. God doesn't care what it sounds like. He just wants to hear your praises. He just wants to hear your praises. And you know what? I used to have a little card that says, when you sing, you pray twice. Do you know why? Because you're not just praying the words, you're singing the music. It's a double blessing to God. And you don't even have to sing on key. He doesn't care. It's okay. I love you, Brother Dave. Are you praying and singing, or are you just praying? Don't just stop at the praying. You need to sing along with it. Is the old way getting a little too loud? Is the addiction calling again? Is the abuse calling again? Drown it out with singing and praising. Drown it out. Try it. It works. Brother Tom, I have a song. Want to put the tape CD on, please? This song God gave to me in one of my darkest hours. And I have owned it. I pray that it blesses you.
Father, you have given much more than I deserve. And I have felt your hand of blessing on me at every turn. How could I doubt your goodness, your wisdom, your grace? So Lord, hear my heart in this painful place. When all that I can sing is a broken hallelujah, when my only offering is shattered praise, still a song of adoration will rise up from these ruins, and I will worship you and give you thanks. Even when my only praise is broken, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I lift my hands, your spirit move. I raise my hand, I reach for you. When all that I can see is broken, hallelujah. Oh, when my only offering is shattered praise, till a song of adoration will rise up from this ruin. Lord, I will worship you, I'll give you thanks. Even when my only praise is a broken,
if all you can do in your broken midnight is sing hallelujah, then sing hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah is right.